scriptures so that you'll understand where we're going with this. I want to title this message tonight, You Are Gifted. Say, I'm gifted. I'm gifted. Amen. You are gifted. Some of you in more ways than you know. I want you to understand tonight that God still gives to His church, and you are that church today, supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not just talking about the gifts. I am talking about the gifts in 1 Corinthians, but I'm talking about other than supernatural gifts of the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Any gift or any endowment that the Holy Spirit or God gives us is a gift of the Holy Spirit and a gift of God. So any gift that you may or talent that God has endowed you with, it came from God. And you are gifted, and God has given the body many gifts. Look here at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Say that with me, to serve others. Faithfully administering the grace of God in its various forms. And I think in the King James it says, being good stewards of the grace of God. God has gifted people in the body of Christ, in the church, for a purpose. Each one, I want you to understand this, each one. Sometimes we think that the Lord has only gifted a few of us, but I'm telling you that God has gifted the entire body of Christ. Your gift may be different than the others or mine, but you still have a gift. And I want to try to bring that out to you tonight. Then in the Amplified Bible, it says, as each of you have received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment. God's grace, employ it for one another. God gives us gifts for each other, not necessarily just for you. Now, I understand this. God understands what your personality is, what your makeup is, your DNA, because He formed you, and He knows what best suits you. So God has given you the gift. It says each one, God has given us a gift. I want you to understand here. No one who wishes to be used by God is left out. God has not left any one of us out. The Amplified Bible says each of you has received a gift. And what we have to do is be resolved to find it and then let God use us in it. See, this is what's wrong with a lot of the church today, is that we have a lot of people who have a lot of talent, a lot of gifts, and a lot of endowments from God, but we're sitting on the sideline. And the body is not being edified because of it. You have people who are stepping into a place where they really don't have the gift to step into that place, because there's people who have the gift that won't take their place that God has assigned them to. So I want to make you understand tonight that each one of you, no one has been left out. Each one of you has received a gift. And we need to be resolved to use it, and we use it for others, the Bible says. God has designed it that way. You remember the scripture in I think it's Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about the body and every member having a part to play, and every part plays a part. And it says when the body does, or every part does its part, the body grows. Say that with me, grows. And is edified. That means that when everybody finds their place, and we all have a place, then the body functions as it should. And it grows, and it is naturally edified. Because if you've ever used a body part, let's say one arm is not functioning properly, and you have to make up the difference with the other arm, or you have a sprained ankle, and you're having to use your right leg and more to compensate for the other one, what happens? It gets overworked. And then it's not near as effective as it could be or should be. So it takes every part doing its part. The key for us tonight is to find our part. And you've seen from the scriptures, God has not left anyone out. If you're sitting on the sideline, it's one of two reasons. Because you don't know what your part is, or you didn't know that God has gifted you, or two, you're choosing not to be a participant. I'm telling you tonight, God has a part for you to play. And if you'll find that part, because God knows your makeup, He knows your personality, He knows what best suits you, you will be edified. You will be blessed. Not only will you be blessed, you will be a blessing to the body of Christ. No one that wishes to be used by God in spiritual gifts is left out. Years ago, when I first got called to the ministry, I was a gap filler, and I still am today. And what that means is, where there were shortcomings or openings or areas that wasn't being filled by members who was called to those positions, but for whatever reason wouldn't take their place, I would fill the gap. You remember the talents, the parable of the talents, and the one that was given the one talent, and then the two and the five. And the one that was given the one talent refused to use it. Now, he had some good excuses. Say good excuses. We've got a multitude of excuses. But Jesus, when he came to do the audit in the parable, didn't buy the excuses. And the talent got took away and given to someone else. But I'm telling you tonight that God has a place for each and every one of us in the body. And God wants us to find that place and to function. We cannot effectively reach a world if we're crippled. Did you know why some people won't stay at a church when they come to a church? One of the main reasons is because the body's not functioning properly as it should. Because the members are refusing to take their place and do their part. And it leaves shortcomings in the church. And when people come off the street, especially unsaved people, they don't know all this. They don't have a clue. All they know is, what do you have to offer? Well, if you don't have much to offer, they go to the next church. And I don't blame them. It's called shopping. If I'm a parent with some young kids and I go to a church and nobody wants to fill the position of children's worker and they have nothing for the children, I go to the next church to find one that does. Are you with me tonight? Are you seeing how all this works together? This is not to condemn us. I'm trying to make us aware of something. There is a need in the body of Christ for people to find their place and to get about doing what God has called them. Now listen, God hasn't just called you just so He can work you. God has blessings in store for you. When we work and we're employed into the kingdom, God blesses us. So God's wanting us to find our place, and He has not left any of us out. I want to show you how some of the gifts work tonight. Now, I'm going to go back and forth from natural, or what we would call personal gifts, to supernatural gifts. And I'm kind of flip-flop back and forth, but you'll get the gist of what I'm trying to say tonight. Here in Acts chapter 3, verse 2, I want to show you something that that you need to see that happened. The man at the gate called Beautiful. And it's Acts chapter 3, verse 2, and then I'm going to pull verse 6 out. Now, a man crippled from his birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going through the temple courts. And then Peter said, as Peter was coming by, as his custom every day to go to the temple, Peter came by and said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but I want you to get this. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." The King James Version says, "Such as I have, I give thee." What I want to draw your attention to is this. What I have. What I have. I want you to understand here. Peter had something, and it was called the gifts of healings. Because later on in the book of Acts, you see where the shadow of Peter was healing people, and they would come and lay their feet, people at his feet, and they would just get healed. And he said, "What I have," he had something, and it was a gift. And he was putting it to use. And people were being blessed and encouraged and healed and delivered and set free because he understood what his gift was, and he was allowing God to use him. Are you with me? And see, this is what God wants us to understand. First, he wants you to understand you got a gift. Second of all, he wants you to understand what that gift is so that you can be employed and use that gift. And it brings glory to God. And it draws people to the kingdom as well. Verse 2, or the second thing, he says, I give you. And I want you to understand, he says, what I have, I give unto thee, or I give to you. See, when God gives you something, he wants you to be willing to share it, to give it away. Years ago, when the Lord called me to ministry, and I was a young person, 23, I believe. And at that time, I was a gap filler. Did whatever the church needed to be done. I didn't understand a lot of things I understand today. But the Lord called me in and told me that in my prayer time that I have called you to ministry. Well, I couldn't see that. But I can remember after serving for a while, and you've heard the story I told this in another sermon, that the pastor came up to me and said, would you, he didn't know I had a call on my, I never shared with anyone I had a call on my life. Because I was scared to death of it. The Lord says, I've called you to get up for people and speak, and I couldn't hold a normal conversation with people, much less get up and speak. But the Lord gave me that gift. And then when that gentleman, that pastor asked me, would you share next Wednesday night? He's seen something. I want you to understand tonight, you may not see the gift in you, but others do. You may not even understand the gift that's in you, but others are seeing it. You may have the gift of mercy and be the most merciful person to people that are fallen and can't seem to get their Christian walk right. And you're just so merciful, and the gift of mercy is working in your life, and you don't fully understand it, but other people are seeing it and experiencing it. But go back to what I was saying, and then between Sunday and Wednesday, I about had a nervous breakdown. But when I stood in the pulpit, I studied to show myself approved. But when I stood in the pulpit, the gift was there. And from that day to now, I have been sharing God's word. And it's got easier with more practice and with perfecting the gift. But I'm telling you that you'll never know unless you're willing to step out. Look what he said. He says, such as I have, I give to you. This has to be other-centered. Our motive, the whole process of spiritual gifts and ministries are for others, and God gives us spiritual gifts so that we can minister for the benefit of others. Did you know, listen to this very carefully, Jesus flowed in a lot of the gifts. He was endowed with the Spirit without measure, the Bible says. And the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming to the earth was for others. The whole purpose of us being saved in the church is not only for us, but that we can reach out to others. None of what God has given us is for selfish purposes. None of it. And Peter was demonstrating this when he says, such as I have, I give unto thee. I want you to understand something here. He understood that he had something. So the first thing is, you've got to identify what God is calling you to do. And then you've got to be willing to flow in it or function in it, and then use it for the benefit of others. Look at Romans 12:6 with me. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace that is given. We have different gifts. And I want you to remember here also, this says according to the grace. It is a grace gift. You don't earn it. God chooses what gifts he wants you to have. And he gives them to you by his goodness and his grace. It is nothing you will ever do to merit or earn. Now, you have to cooperate with God. You have to flow with God, function in this gift, and get better at it. Learn to be used in it. But it ultimately came from God. It was a free gift. You didn't earn it. When God formed you in your mother's womb, he says, I have a special assignment for you in life. He put things in your life so that you could be a blessing to his body and humanity on the earth. and it was a grace gift. You didn't do anything. There are people here at this church that play musical instruments, and I hate to say this, I envy you because I can't do some of the things you can do, but it is a gift that you have that no one else has. You may have a gift that only you and you alone can reach certain people with that gift because God has endowed you with that gift. But it's all by grace. It's a grace gift. So it says, we having different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. And I want you to see this part. And we have different gifts. And I want you to understand this. We're not all the same. We have different personalities. The Bible says we may have the same gift, but different administrations of that gift. Brother Gillum ministers along the lines like I do, but it may be different than I do. But it's still the same gift. You may see a Bible teacher that teaches one way and find another one that teaches another way. It's a different administration, but it's the same gift. Are you seeing what I'm saying? There are people in this church that have similar gifts to each other, but it can be function in a different way because God knows your personality and your makeup. Now, we always need to remember also, we need each other. My gifts are different than yours. Your gifts are different than mine. And everybody's gifts are different from each other's. And God designed it this way, what we call the corporate body, so we could function in one and we can be complete. We wouldn't be prideful and we would learn to depend on one another. Are you following me? We always need to remember we need each other. We need each other. Did you know the body without the, if the arm doesn't have the hand doesn't have the rest of the arm, it's nothing. If I'm handicapped and one arm's gone, one leg's gone, you see how unstable I get? It's the same way in the body of Christ. This is why a lot of our churches today are struggling, because people in the church today, and I don't want you to take this wrong, but I want you to take it right. Say, I'll take it right, Pastor. I know you're not beating me up. But I do want you to understand. The body of Christ is not being effective as God wants it to be because we're seeing people in the body that's not willing to take their place in the body. The blessings and the rewards that await you in heaven depend upon you finding your talent, finding your gift, and getting in that office that God has ordained for you, and then flowing with God and being a blessing to humanity. And the body will be edified according to, and it grows according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Romans 11:29. Look at this scripture. It says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. The Amplified says, for God's gift and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they are given. He does not change his mind about those whom he has given his grace to, or he does not rescind his call. If God has used you in the past in spiritual offices or gifts, he hasn't changed his mind. Listen to me very carefully tonight. You may be sitting on the sideline, but God never told you to. You may have let your spiritual gift go dormant tonight, but God hasn't changed his mind. You've heard me tell that when we moved from Oklahoma up here, I went to church. I served in various capacities, but refused to minister. The call never left me. That's why I'm here today. How many remembers Jonah? And he ended up in the fish's belly because he had a call upon his life to go do the will of God, and he refused to do it. Many Christians today are in our churches are unhappy today, and they're in the fish's belly, so to speak, because they refuse to walk in the office or the gift that God is telling them to walk in. and they're miserable and they're not happy. And they say, Pastor, I really don't experience that joy that you tell us about all the time from the pulpit, that Jesus said, I come to give you life and it more abundant. You know why? Because maybe you've missed your call and you're on the sidelines, and the joy is in serving and being a blessing. And when you're being a blessing, there's a thing called a reciprocal that happens and you get blessed. Just like when you give and you receive, the law of seed time and harvest started in Genesis, and it hasn't stopped. It goes all through the Bible. Jesus' life was a seed. The Bible says that his life was buried as a seed that he might bring many brethren unto the Lord. Listen to me. If you want to experience the grace of God in its fullness, you've got to find your place. You've got to sow your life, and you'll reap life in return. Amen. God never withdraws them. I sat on the sidelines for a long time, and I was the most miserable Christian. I can remember, Don, I'll tell you, when the pastor would come back, shake my hand, I'd shake his hand, but don't give me no dialogue, because I was afraid God would expose me for who I really was, and I was running from God. I was Jonah in the fish's belly, and I probably looked like him when they spit him up, all that yellow goop on him and everything. I probably was nasty. Thank God our pastor had grace. Are you with me tonight? What I'm telling you is that God has gifts. He never changes his mind. I remember coming off the hillside from mowing a backfield we had, and I stopped on the hillside. It's a lot like today, nice afternoon, looked over the hillside, shut the tractor down, looked over the hillside, covered in grass and dirt, been mowing, brush hogging all day, sweaty. And I can remember, because I hadn't heard it in a long time, because I wouldn't give God a chance. God's asking you to give him a chance tonight. I wouldn't give God a chance to listen to what he wanted to say. And God said, aren't you tired? Well, after brush hogging 10 hours, yeah, you're pretty tired. And then the Holy Spirit quickened my spirit and said, aren't you tired? I knew what he was saying. Oh, God, am I tired? You see, a lot of Christians are tired. They're weary. And the reason they're weary is because they're not in the place that God has called them to be. And I remember the Holy Spirit quickening to me. I mean, knows the Holy Spirit makes alive. He quickens his words to us. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they're spirit and life. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying to me, aren't you tired of running? Well, I was sitting on a tractor. I knew what the Lord was saying. And then the Holy Spirit started overcoming me. How many's ever had that happen to him? Where his presence was so heavy upon you that the weighty presence of God gets on you and you just melt. Like the Bible says, the mountains melt at his presence. I began to melt under the presence of God, and God began to break my heart. And I began to weep. I said, oh, God, I'm tired. I'm so weary, Lord. And I can remember the Holy Spirit and said, don't you want to do, just as clear today, don't you want to do, this is what keeps me in ministry when times are tough, don't you want to do what I've called you to do? Well, I melted like a candle. And I just began to weep before the Lord. So, oh, God, I want to do your will. And the Lord began to pour out his goodness upon me. I began to get a renewal in my spirit. And I felt the presence of God. And that just like when you was born again and you got filled with the Holy Ghost and you thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened to you. It is an experience that you think, I can never experience this again. And I felt that newness, that freshness all over again. And I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to do your will. I'll do your will. And I remember the joy that came into my heart that night. And I knew what God was calling me to do. And it felt like that the well was spitting me up on the bank again. And I said, oh, God, I'll go home. And I went straight home. God is my witness. And I drove the tractor up there. And my wife looked at me like she probably did about like the people in Nineveh did Jonah when he come walking up on the beach. My wife looked at me like, something's changed. Something's changed. And I'll tell you what that something was. I got in line with God's will. And then I told my wife, I said, I'm going to take a shower. She says, that's probably a good thing. And I said, honey, I got one more thing I want to tell you. She says, what? I said, we're selling the farm. And we're going to do what God called us to do. That was the beginning of where we are today. I'm telling you, God knows your place in the body of Christ. And fulfillment comes when you find it. Joy comes when you find it. When you get about doing what God has called you to do. You may have let your gift lie dormant. You perhaps have neglected it. But I want to tell you tonight, it's still there. God has not changed His mind. After 8 years of me dodging God, God had not changed His mind. And I would not let God, if a prophet came into our church and he started moving in the gifts and he would start making his way through the audience towards the back, I would get up and go to the bathroom. I did not want God reading my mail. I did not want God exposing me. I knew. Say, I know. I'm telling you tonight, deep down in your spirit, you know what God is calling and asking you to do in the body of Christ. It takes commitment. It takes a lot of commitment. But it'll be the most fulfilling thing you'll ever do. So you may have let it lie dormant. You might have neglected it. But I'm telling you tonight, it's still there. Perhaps you sensed a call years ago, but life's busyness has intervened. But I want to tell you, the call is still valid. God has not changed His mind. Because when God made you, He had something specific in mind for you. Look at 1 Corinthians. God does not change His mind about those whom He sends or who He calls. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, and then 14 and 1. Tonight you may not know what your spiritual gift is, but I believe if you'll ask God, He'll reveal it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says, "But eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way." Verse 1 of chapter 14 says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy." The King James Version says, "Covet earnestly the best gifts." Listen to this. God will never force spiritual gifts upon you. No, He's looking for willing and yielded vessels of honor. He will knock. He will ask. But He won't bend your arm and make you do something. And He will try to position you to a point to where you will say yes to Him. But He's looking for yielded vessels unto honor. Let me tell you what your part is here out of these verses. It says, eagerly desire, covet earnestly the best gifts. You're not presuming on God when He commands us to covet the gifts. Some people are afraid to use or be used by the gifts because they're afraid that that's only for the elitists. I'm telling you, there is no elitist in the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head and the rest of us are the body. And there's no little, big me and little you's in the body of Christ. The Bible said we're all one. You're not presuming on God to do this. Rather, He commands us to covet the gifts. We need to have this word covet, and I'm going to try to define it for you. We need to have an insatiable desire to be used by God for the benefit of others. Look at verse 12 and 14, 1 Corinthians 14, 12. It says, "So it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church." And here's some keys here out of that verse. First, He wants us to eagerly desire or covet. That word covet, if you look it up in the Greek, means to lust after in a godly way. God wants you to want it bad. How many's ever seen got the craving for something? like ice cream. I was on a Daniel fast about a month ago. When I come off, my wife was at children's camp. And we had Tuesday night prayer up here. And I finished on Monday night. All day long, I was thinking about, what do I want to treat myself with? I can remember all day long thinking, you know, I'm not just going to jump back into meat and all this kind of stuff. I'm going to be a good person, good boy. Well, I come up here and I prayed for an hour, and man, my mind kept drifting away. I was lusting after something. I'll tell you where I ended up, at Dairy Queen. And I ate that thing so fast, I'll never forget. And did you feel guilty? Not in the least bit. I treated myself. But I'm telling you, God wants you to have an eager desire for being used by Him, to be used in the arena of the gifts. There are people in this church here tonight that you have been used in gifts, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of healings. I've seen you flow in them. And then for some reason, somehow, you've let the gifts lie dormant in your life. And there are people in this church and in this community that need a touch from God, and you have it, and you're withholding. And if God has given it to you, and He hasn't given it to me, I can't give it to Him. It said Peter and John told the man, look upon me. And when he looked upon him, he said, such as I have. Wasn't James, it wasn't any of the other apostles. Right place, right time, obedience, willing to be used by God. Earnestly desire to be used by God. And it says here in Corinthians, for the benefit of the body, so that it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. It's a wholesome eagerness for spiritual gifts. The second thing is, it says, try to excel. That means aim for excellence in your ministry or your gift. Aim for it. Did you know the more that you desire to be used by God, and the more you're letting Him use, the better you get at it, the more clear it becomes to you, the more you learn how to flow in it and function in it? I'm a whole lot better preacher than I was 7-8 years ago. And it's by letting God use me. And it says, try to excel. That means aim for excellence. God wants us to be excellent in what we do. And then it says that the gifts build up. The motive here is to build up and to edify the body. Build up the church, it says. Let me tell you something. One thing we need to get back to. We need to love the church. Jesus Christ loves the church. We need to love the church with the love that Jesus loves the church with. You know, sometimes people are having the attitude anymore, I can take the church or leave it. No, you can't. Not if you're part of the church. We need to love the church. Build up the church. Love your church, even as Christ loved it and died for it. Did you know the Bible says, no greater love than this than the man can have for his brethren is that he lays down his life for it. 1 Timothy, I'm going to get ready to wind it down. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. I want to show you something as we wind it down. When you're there, say amen. Paul told Timothy, Timothy was a man of God, no doubt about it, was pastor of the Ephesus church or Ephesians church. That some say it was 10,000 in number, and it began to fall apart on him. And Timothy began to doubt his call and his gift. And I want you to know what Paul wrote him a letter and said, this is what I got to say to you, Pastor Timothy. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Do not neglect it. In the stress of and pressure of the 21st century, it's all too easy to neglect our gifts. I work a full-time job, and I'm on call 24 hours a day. And I'm telling you, with the demands of ministry and the demands of work and family and everything that goes on, if you're not careful, you'll let the gift be neglected. And he told Timothy, he said, don't neglect your gift. I'm telling you tonight, if you know what your gift is and you're neglecting it, the word for you tonight is do not neglect it. Jesus warned us that the cares of this world and the desire for other things can divert us and make us unfruitful. We need to take stock of ourselves and ask ourselves these questions. Am I sidetracked? Am I diverted by the world? Have my spiritual callings and gift become secondary in my life? If you have, let me tell you something. Do not neglect the gifts. And I want to tell you something. 100 years from now, the only thing that matters is what you did in God anyways. The only legacy that we can leave is what we did in God. The only real blessings we get when we get to heaven is what we have done in the kingdom for God, with God's help, and to help humanity. So take stock of yourself. Ask yourself, have I been sidetracked? Have I been diverted? Have I let my gifts go to the sidelines? And I tell you, just like Paul told Timothy, do not neglect your spiritual gift. Paul followed up with this in 2 Timothy 1:6. And I'm going to read you a couple of versions so you get the gist of what he's saying. 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, "For I remind you," the King James Version, "of the gift that you have, to stir it up, the gift of God that is within thee." Then the NIV says, 2 Timothy 1:6, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." He told him not to neglect it in the first Timothy and 2 Timothy. He said, "Look, I'm reminding you, stir this thing up." Listen to me very carefully. You're the only one that can stir it up, you and the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what he was telling him. There's a gift of God in you, Timothy. You need to, the NIV says, fan it into flames. Have you ever seen I was watching a survival show the other day, and the guy, all he had was a stick and a piece of rope, and he had these grass clippings. He was rubbing that thing hard as he could go, and that smoke started coming. And I mean, he started seeing a little spark. Say spark. When you begin to work that thing, you'll begin to feel a spark. And he began to go, blowing that thing. He was out in the middle of nowhere, and he needed some food, and he needed some fire. And that's what he was telling Timothy. He's telling him, fan that thing. If you begin to fan it, it'll begin to burn again. He says, stir up the gift that is within you. I remember at my brother-in-law's place in Huntsville, and we was there for Thanksgiving, and he had a fireplace there, and I'm sitting there watching him, and I'm thinking of this scripture the whole time he's doing it. I'm sitting there, and that he had a stack of logs going, and we didn't need a fire. It was nice without it, but he thought, we're going to have a family out here, and I'm going to put a fire on. He began to poke at it with a poker, and the more he turned them logs over, the bigger that fire got. The bigger that fire got. And that's what he's telling you. The more you'll stir that gift up in you, it'll begin to well up inside you. It'll turn into a flame, and it'll hopefully get out of control. Well, this one did get out of control. He was sitting there, and his wife kept telling him, "Sidney Wayne, leave that fire along." He just grinned at her and poked it again. He just kept doing it and doing it and doing it, and finally it went pow! And everybody got real quiet. And a big old piece of wood popped out, cherry red, went on the carpet. And it burned a big old hole in her carpet. That's not what part of the message, but I thought that was funny. But and then he got the lecture again. "Sidney Wayne, you're going to have to put new carpet in this house." And he did. Praise God, I'm telling you tonight, you need to stir up the gift that is in you. There definitely is a gift in you. You need to fan it into a flame. And there's spiritual gifts in all of us. And if you're just letting it simmer, it's not doing any good. Let me give you some pointers for how to do that. Revelations 1:10. It says this, "On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergam, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. John was in the spirit when he received this revelation. I'm telling you tonight, here's how you fan the flames of the gift that is in you. You got to learn to endeavor to walk in the spirit. The church of Jesus Christ is a spiritual church, not a soulless church. What do I mean by that? If you're always living your life in the soulless realm, you'll be nothing but frustrated. I said, if you're always living your life in the realm of the soulless realm, you'll always be frustrated. Why? You're not going to be participating in any of the fruits of the Spirit. You'll be walking in the flesh. And the Bible says in Galatians that the flesh and the Spirit are at war for dominance. And the one that you allow to dominate you is the fruit of what you're going to experience in your life. How many wants the fruit of the Spirit in their life? I think every one of us, when he good sense in here, then you need to endeavor to be in the Spirit. Not just on the Lord's Day. We have become so churchy that we can come to church and we could, when I was running from God those 8 years, nobody in the church knew I was, because I could put on the face and I could talk the talk, but I wasn't walking the walk. But as soon as I left church, we'd fight all the way to church. And as soon as I'd leave church, we'd fight all the way home. Oh, that was a good service, wasn't it? Yes, praise God, and argue. Reason you're laughing, because some of you live in it. I wasn't walking in the Spirit. I was fulfilling my desires, not God's desires. And I wasn't getting the benefit of it. If you'll begin to walk in the Spirit, you'll begin to see what God has for you in the Spirit, and you'll begin to experience it and let God use you in it. Yield yourself to the Spirit. That's what he's saying in Galatians. Yield yourself to the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we need to be often in the Spirit. I know we have lives where we have to work and we have to think with our brains and all these things. But I'm telling you that we are first and foremost spiritual beings in the kingdom of God. When God, Jesus came and he said, you must be born again, he was talking about a rebirth of our spirits, a new spirit that God has put in each and every one of us. And he wants us to be led by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, and walk in the Spirit. Yes, it's getting hot in here, sister. Those who are often in the Spirit will find themselves often being used by God. Let me give you just a good example for our close. When we are having church service, how many likes it when ministers move in the gifts of the Spirit like brother did last week? Brother Gillum, you missed the service. We didn't get in here almost 10 o'clock last week and nobody complained. And most of them showed back up tonight, praise God. And there was, I mean, it was right at 10. We had a service. It was something else. And the reason was, is because the brother was being used in the gifts of the Spirit and everybody knew it. And everybody wanted to partake of his gift. And we all got blessed by that gift, didn't we? Everybody in here got edified. I was the only one. Well, at the end, he prayed for me. I played catcher all night. Took me 2 days to get over it. I'm going to stop because I'll get in trouble. But we was here at 9:45 and everybody experienced the giftings of God. I'm telling you, if everybody would learn to flow in the gifts of God, how would we be edified all the time? It wouldn't be once in a while. But I want to tell you how a brother gets to that position. You know how God uses me in services and some of you that are using the gifts? It's when you're often in the Spirit and you're not always endeavoring talking about the flesh. I get very grieved when I come to church and all I hear is what's going on in life all week long. We never want to talk about the things of God. We want to talk about everything under the sun but God. But we got to get back to talking about what God's doing if we want what God has. And the reason I lock myself up in the office, not because I don't like people, is because I want to be in the Spirit so I can hear God tell me when somebody's got a problem. I can prophesy to them. I can give them a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge and be used by God. Well, you want to be used by God? Walk in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit. We need to have pre-service prayer where we're coming in here and we're praying and we're setting the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to use us and move in our services. This is what it takes. We all talk that we want it. We have to get a brother come from outside. Say outside. He's got to drive 60 miles from outside and get here just before we start so he don't get carnal and in the soulish realm and lose everything God had prepared him to give us that night. This is reality. This is reality. You want to be used by God? You want to walk in the Spirit, flow in the Spirit? You got to walk in the Spirit. When I spend my time with the Lord up here and I'm quiet before the Lord and I'm not being distracted by everything that goes on CNN, Fox Network, and the internet and everything under the sun, then I can hear clearly from God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You know why Jesus could come off the mountain and go do miracles? Because he spent time with God and he knew what God was up to. He said, I always do what I hear my Father, or say what I hear my Father saying. I always do what I see my Father do. Where did he see it? There wasn't any healing going on in heaven because nobody's sick. Hallelujah. Oh, you're getting rough now, Pastor. That's all right. We need to know the truth because the truth sets us free. And when we'll spend that quality time with God, I'm telling you, God will start to show you things. The Holy Spirit said he'll show you things to come. I can remember in some of our services, a lady came from down on King School Road that didn't even come to this church. Been here a couple of times. I remember sitting at the sound booth that used to be right over there by our bathrooms, praise God, in the early days. Yeah, it was funny. And she walks in. We might have had a dozen people here. She walks in, walks down that aisle. When she walks through the door, it was like a movie projector went off in my head. My spirit and I watched her walk down there, and God told me everything he wanted me to say to her. I didn't know nothing about the lady. I'd been spending time with God. I was in tune. My spiritual antennas was up. At the end of the service, I called her up, and I began to, and I thought, by then, the devil done tried to talk me out of it. I want you to hear this clearly. You will never have confidence to tell a man at the gate beautiful to rise and walk if you're not in the Spirit. Because in the flesh, you'll never believe you can do that with God's help. You got to be in the Spirit. I remember calling her up at the end, and I remember what the Lord told me to tell her. And here's what I seen. She wouldn't mind telling me. She began to bawl, and I knew God would show me what he showed me. She was all stiff through the whole service, tried to praise God, but you could see she was just bound by shackles. I remember calling her up and said, ma'am, can I pray for you? She came up and I said, this is what the Lord showed me. And I said, if I'm wrong, forgive me. But I said, I see your family in a big old ugly fight this morning before church. I see your two daughters fighting. She was 50 some odd years old. She began to cry, and she said, I told God if you was a man of God to show him so he would help me. And I said, don't ever do that again. And she said, my two daughters live across the street from each other, ended up in the yard wrestling this morning and swore they'd never talk to each other again. I said, if God showed you this much and he cares this much about you, he'll take care of the rest of it. But had I not spent time with God, had I not been walking in the Spirit, do I always hit a home run? No. But I'm telling you, when you will spend that quality time with God, when you will endeavor to walk in the Spirit, God can use you in supernatural ways. And he wants to. Say amen. Hallelujah. I remember one preacher, and I'll just share this story as I close. He was in a meeting, and the Lord told him, there was a big gentleman sitting in a wheelchair. He said, go down there, wrap your arms around him, pick him straight up, and throw him up in the air. This is God's my witness. I've seen this same individual do several crazy things like that that were God because they worked out. He said between the time that he was supposed to do it and do it, I mean, those we want to argue with God a little bit. It's our flesh that's unsure because we're more comfortable in the flesh realm than we are the realm of the spirit. And he says, the devil said to me in the other ear was, this will be the end of your ministry, a big lawsuit on the front page of the news. And you do this and it's over, pal. He said, well, I heard that. And then I heard the Lord say again, do what I told you to do. So he said, I didn't give the devil another chance to talk. I walked right off the platform. I wrapped my arms around this guy who weighed 250 plus, and this guy weighs about 180. And he says, I thought, oh my God, how am I going to throw him in the air? I'm not big enough to even pick him up. He says, I began to wrap my arms around this guy. And when he did, this is all on film, by the way. And when he did, he did this two or three times, trying to get up the momentum. And the third time, with the help of God, the man went straight up, never hit the ground for about 4 or 5 feet, and began to do a jig in front of the whole church. And there was revival in that church. You say, well, that's some big time preacher. No, he's not. God's looking for willing and obedient people to use. And he'll use little old you. Peter was just a fisherman. Hallelujah. I remember one time we had a service, and I'll tell this story because you like stories, I know. Some of you was here, and we had the gray chairs, and I think we might have had an aisle at that time, and we was worshiping with CDs. We didn't even have live music in those days. And we invited a Catholic friend of my wife's who lived next door to us. She showed up. And it was Mother's Day, I think. I don't remember. But anyhow, she showed up, and there was probably 20 of us in here on a Sunday morning. And and the lady was sitting where you're sitting, Paula. And we began to praise the Lord. Well, about two songs into it, she began to laugh. Some of you was here. You remember this. She began to laugh. At first, I thought, well, praise God, she's getting free. She began to laugh louder. Then everybody in the praise and worship started looking at me. And I closed my eyes, and she got so loud in this building, you couldn't hear the praise and worship. And it went from a joyous laugh to a hideous laugh. And I remember closing my eyes. I was in the spirit that day, except I was trying to run for the barn. And I remember standing right here going, Lord, do something. I remember saying, Lord, do something. Do something quickly. This lady in the back probably thinks we've lost our mind. Do something, Lord. And the Lord said, cast the devil out of her. I said, oh, my God, no. She'll know we've lost our mind. The Lord said, do something. And I let it go on, and the praise and worship team and the people in the audience were getting vexed and starting to get all uptight about it. And I was feeling it, and they was looking at me like, you're the pastor. And I'm like, not today. Somebody else fill in. Lord, do something, hurry. We didn't have a platform, and I remember walking up here. Finally, I finally said, okay, Lord, okay. And I'm trying to muster up the courage. I'm being real. Can I be real tonight? And I walk up here, and I remember we didn't have this on the wall. I remember looking at the white wall with everybody, and I'm sitting there going, please, Lord, do something, please. And I remember the Lord saying, I told you to cast the devil out of her in my name. And when he said that, I said, I'll do it. I turned around and I walked about right here. She was right there. I pointed my finger. I said, come out of her in Jesus' name. When I said that, she fell over, hit the chair, bounced off of it, laid in the floor, never moved the rest of the service, never heard another peep out of her. And she told me later, said, something left me. And she was a big woman. She just had a brand new pair of glasses. And on the way down, it was like slow-mo. I'm going, oh, no. She lands on top of her glasses, bounces off of them, hits the floor. And I didn't know nobody even caught her. And she never says a peep out. And I look at her glasses, and they're about four pieces. I told her after service, I said, I'll buy you another pair of glasses. It was worth it to shut her up. Listen to me. There might have been 25 in here. God might have went to the other 24 and none of them paid any attention. Or they were so in the natural that they couldn't hear God or wouldn't have the confidence to step out in it if he did say something. So I'm telling you, it's important that we stay in the Spirit. There are things that God wants to do and use us as a church, as individuals in the church. You may have the key that unlocks the mystery in somebody's life. God may choose to use you, but if you don't stay in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and be open to being used by God, then the job might not get done. Praise God. So how do we hear from God? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. We got to get away. We got to get quiet. We got to endeavor to walk in the Spirit. And we got to be open to being used by God. Let me summarize real quickly. Remember, each one of us receives spiritual gifts from God. There are things that JD and Edith can do that God doesn't use me in those areas. And I depend upon them in those areas. Each one of us has received spiritual gifts. These gifts are given us to minister for the benefit of others. Gifts are for others, and it's other-centeredness, not on ourselves. Spiritual gifts differ from one Christian to another, and we need to seek to be used in those areas that God has gifted us. Don't try to copy someone else in their areas of gifts, because God didn't make you a copy. He made you an original. Some people, I like some of these ministers that I see on TV that flow in the gifts. And I know one guy that tries to emulate Benny Hinn. He's not Benny Hinn. Brother, you've told me you went to Ohio and seen Ernest Angley. Very few try to emulate him because he is original. But God uses him mightily. Don't try to be somebody else. Be who God called you to be. Don't try to emulate somebody else's gift. Let God use you. Sister Edith sometimes gets words in the Spirit and words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of tongues and prophetic utterances and prophecies. But it doesn't come to me that way. I do it totally different. But that's still the gift. So don't try to copy somebody. Be who God called you to be. And remember this, God's gifts are irrevocable. God doesn't take them past. If he's used you in the past, he still wants you to be used in those areas today. They may be dormant, but they're still there if you'll stir them up. And then we need to eagerly desire or covet earnestly the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then the motive of our desiring spiritual gift is love towards others and the need of ministry from God to others. We need to try to excel in the gifts, be excellent in them, so that we build up the church of the living God. And we need to take care not to neglect the spiritual gifts that God has given us. We need to fan into a flame and stir them up and keep them stirred up. Praise God. Man, we'd have some great services if people would come in here stirred up, full of the Spirit. You know what church has turned into? It turned into that the pastor's got to stay pumped up so that he can pump everybody else up and refill them every week, because from one service to the next, their gauge is on empty. God never designed it that way. He said, be filled, refilled with the Spirit every single day. Every one of us, not just the pastors and the fivefold ministry and the worship team. I'm talking about everybody from the children workers to the lay people. Be filled with the Spirit. You don't go very far when you're running on empty. Take care not to neglect the gift that's in you. And finally, endeavor to stay in that realm of the Spirit so you can hear God when he unctions you to let him use you in those areas. Stand to your feet, if you will. Did you get anything out of this? I want to pray a general prayer for everyone tonight. This was what was prayed over me, and I wrote it in my Bible that night. There was a young black minister ministering from ORU at our church. He was a senior, I believe. And that night he preached on giftings and callings. And he said at the end of that message, he said, "I want everyone to stand and I'm going to pray a prayer that God, if you don't know your gift tonight, that God will reveal to you some areas that he wants you to be used in." And God is my witness. As I bowed my head and listened, they came so clear because I wanted to hear. Do you want to hear tonight? They came so clear, and I wrote them down in my Bible. I am living what I wrote down in my Bible back in the early 80s. Bow your heads. Father, thank you tonight for the precious gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the giftings of ministry. Thank you, Lord, for the personal gifts that we have, mercy gifts and gifts of giving and all the gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Lord. Thank you for every gift that you said when Jesus rose on high, he gave gifts unto men. Lord, I thank you tonight as this congregation has heard this word. Lord, I believe that you have more for this body. I believe that you have places in this body for each member that's here tonight. I believe that you have given us gifts and talents and abilities and endowments, Lord. And Lord, I believe that you want us to use them. Father, I pray tonight as I'm praying that you begin by your Holy Spirit to reveal to each and every individual here tonight their place in the body, their gift, their endowment, their calling. And I pray, God, that you will help them to yield to that, Lord. Be used by you so that the blessings can be manifest in our life, so the body can be built up, so that the church can be lifted up and be that glorious light that's set upon a hill that others are attracted to it. Father, I pray tonight that deep down in our spirit that you're planning and revealing and quickening and giving people revelation, Lord, of the areas of their life that you want to use them in. I know there's not any sidelines in the body of Christ, God, that you have a place for everybody. You said every part of the body is important. And the ones that seem to be the least are the ones that are most important. Lord, I pray tonight, reveal to each and every individual here tonight where you want to use them, how you want to use them, and encourage them, Lord, in this area, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Does anybody need prayer before we close tonight? I'd love to pray for you. Come on up, Jimmy, if you will. Anybody else that you need prayer? Hallelujah.
Virus.